Okay, take your Bibles this morning. Let's go over to chapter 51 of Psalms. Psalms chapter 51. We are looking at today at the at one of my favorite characters in the Bible, King David. You know, it's amazing to me how you can read the history of King David from his childhood as a shepherd boy all the way up through the king of Israel, and you can see that God had his hand on him even when he was an adolescent boy, just a shepherd's son, way out in the remote areas of Palestine, tending the sheep. And David, as a child, faced many dangers. He faced lions and bears and all sorts of things that tried to steal the sheep from him. He protected them. He stayed out on the plains many, many nights. And he was a strong young lad, and he defended the sheep and he defended the flock. And I think even at those times, God was teaching him something and teaching him and bringing him up to be the leader of his chosen nation, Israel. And we see that all the way through David's life. One of the characteristics that I can relate to in David is he was a sinful rascal. You know, we think about David as being a godly, righteous man, and he was, only because of what God did for him. But he was a sinful rascal in many ways. He would have his good times, and he would go along, and then all of a sudden, plop, he'd fall. That reminds me of myself, and probably reminds you of yourself. I can relate to David. David's sin. David had failures in his life, and he succumbed to temptation sometimes. But you know what's really amazing to me? It's kind of hard to get this part. It all has to do with grace, and God's grace, and his abundant grace and forgiveness. The Bible says this, that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, that's hard to relate to when you see the sin in David's life. But God fully knew that David was human, that he was going to create some messes for himself. And if you remember back, one of the largest messes that David ever created for himself was when he was out looking at Bathsheba. And when he should have been tending to his business, he should have been out in the field of war. It was the time of the year that kings went forth for war. But David didn't go forth that year for war. He stayed at home. And he got mixed up there, and he got confused. He succumbed to some temptation, which led to more sin. Then he had to go into murder, and he sent forth Bathsheba's husband to the front lines of the war where he should have been, and had him killed. He was sacrificed so that he could have Bathsheba. And so, of course, that story relates and goes on. And God had to send a man named Nathan to him. And Nathan chastised David, told him what God had said, and he tried to give him some direction. After that, David's heart was broken. He knew that he'd sinned, just like we do sometimes. And so we can relate to that. What David did was he wrote one of these psalms, Psalms 51, about that incident and some of the things that he related to, and some of his emotions and behaviors and feelings that he had about that sinful part of his life. And so we can relate to these, everything that he wrote here, we can relate to it. So let's begin reading here and see if you can hear and see if you can understand and feel the pain that David had because of his sin and his sinful nature. By the way, get too warm, let me know. We can turn the big AC on. It's up to y'all. And anytime you feel like you need it. Psalms chapter 51. David's declaring here, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy love kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. The first thing he says here is he declares the same thing that we have to declare when we are in a sinful state, is have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Did you know that David knew that he was out of fellowship with God? He could feel it. In other words, there had been a broken contract there. God had promised David some things, and David had promised God some things, and he was loyal to God. His loyalties lay with God, and all of a sudden he finds himself in a broken contract or a broken relationship with God. It's broken fellowship. Now, you know, you and I can relate to that. We understand all about having a broken fellowship with God and how terrible it is. I have had some times in my life since I become a pastor that I have done some things, nothing real bad that would affect the human race or anything like that, but just little intimate things between me and God. Things that I didn't do or I didn't do correctly. And I've had some real heavy guilt feelings on those things and a broken relationship with my father. And I can tell you something, it's painful. It hurts. It breaks your heart. It makes you feel very guilty. Sometimes you can't sleep over it. And sometimes it just annoys you, and on and on and on it goes. I remember a time many years ago that someone was bragging on me one morning at church, at another church, about what a wonderful message you brought today, Brother Bob. And I got the big head all of a sudden. And I said, boy, you know, I guess that was a pretty good message I preached. Yeah, that's all right. They just bragged about it. And I listened to them. But boy, that was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made in my life, brother. I'm telling you, I have made some mistakes. But when I started listening to that bragging about what my preaching was, I really fell head over heels into the pit. And it wasn't long after that, almost immediately, I began to feel empty. I began to feel something wrong. I had a broken relationship with my Heavenly Father. And it was miserable. I felt a lot like David felt here. I couldn't have any spiritual strength. My high was gone. My quest for righteousness was overpowered by guilt, and I didn't know what was wrong. And that was the situation I was in. I was walking in a dry land, and I began to pray. That's all I could do. And after about 6 weeks of praying, I kept praying and asking God to show me what's wrong. Show me what's the problem. What's wrong? And all of a sudden, he said it in just a very few words. He said, you stole my glory. You stole my glory. Now, that is a terrible thing to be called a thief by God, stealing something that belonged to him. You see, that day when that person had told me what a wonderful job I'd done in preaching that Sunday, all of a sudden I took the credit. I thought my chest swelled up, and it was God's glory. It was God's message. It was God's business. It was His church. It was His pulpit. It was His work. And I took God's glory, and He reminded me of that. Broken fellowship through. Bill, could you turn Angela, turn the AC on, please, one of you, and bring Miss Linda a glass. Let's get the other one, Bill. And bring Linda some water. I apologize for this heat, Linda. We're here to try to make you feel comfortable, and whatever we can do, that's what we want to do. But I had a broken fellowship with God at that time. And I got to tell you something. It's kind of like being beat up and bruised and hurt. Beat up. And just not being happy with myself. And that's where David was here. He cried out to God, the only place he could cry out to, have mercy upon me, O God, And then he goes on in this verse number 2, and he realized his sin. He knew that he had sinned with Bathsheba. He knew that he had had a major problem in his life, and he knew the only way that he could get this thing rectified or right was he called out to God in verse 2. He said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." You know what? When you sin, you gotta realize you sin and you gotta know that you've sinned. And if you don't understand what's happened, pray to God and ask God to help you to understand it and see what the problem is. If there's a broken relationship between you and God, I promise you, you'll know it. You'll be beat up, you'll be burdened, and you've all been there and done that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You gotta realize there's a problem of what the situation is. Now, one of the things that people do, especially in the secular world, outside of the church, when people have a problem, they just skip right over it. Sometimes they laugh their way through it. Sometimes they'll just party their way through it, but they'll go past those things or just go through them. A Christian or a child of God, when there's a broken fellowship and a broken relationship with God, the first thing that person ought to do is start searching and praying and looking to find out what the problem is and what the situation is so that you can make proper corrections. That's what King David did. That's exactly what I did. I knew that I had to do some things, and I knew that I had to change my ways and change some situations. And so I had to work on these situations. Am I the only one that's ever had that problem, or y'all had that same problem before? You can relate to it. I hate to be the only one up here confessing my sins. I know, because I know I could have some help with that. But you know what I'm trying to express here, what I'm talking about. When there's a problem, we need to fix it and we need to repair it. I'm a great believer if it's not broke, don't try to fix it. If it's going along good and things are going well, leave it alone. But if there's a situation and you know there's a problem, then we have to repair those problems and change those things. And he continues on and says this, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Good morning. Good to see you. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and I've done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." You see, David knew then that the problem and the situation that he hadn't sinned against himself. He hadn't sinned against anyone else. He had done some people wrong there when he had Bathsheba's husband killed, but he had sinned against God, the one that had taken him out of the pasture of the shepherd's field and moved him into the kingship of Israel and had planned his life and made his life for him and blessed him so abundantly. David knew that he had sinned against God. Can we relate to that? We feel a lot of guilt when we sin and when we do things and we have situations that we know we've done wrong. And when we do those things, we hurt other people. We hurt ourselves most especially. But the thing that we have to remember is we sin against God. I have never seen two people, married couple, I've never seen anybody that could get along perfect all the time. Always some kind of little something, some kind of little conflict. If you're involved in a marriage or a friendship with somebody or a relationship with the children, adult children, and everything is perfect, no problem, no trauma, no situation, no hard feelings. If you've been there, please get with me after church and give me some instructions on how you accomplish that, because I've never been there and I don't know what the experience is of having that. What I do understand is hurt feelings, sharp tongues, accusations. getting even. That's a big one right there. You did this to me, so I'm going to do this back to you. You hurt me. And we do get hurt by people we love. And the first thing that we want to do is strike back. Amen. Strike back and hurt them. We want to retaliate. God says, vengeance is mine. He said, I'll take care of all those situations. And this creates not many times, but every single time, a trauma in the marriage or a trauma in the relationship between husband and wife or friends or family, even people in our office, in work situations. This back and forth vendetta thing, I'm going to get even with you. I'm going to hurt you because you hurt me. You see, that's God's business. We create for ourselves a hurtful, guilty trauma. That takes a lot longer, and you know this, it takes a lot longer to get over it than it did to create it. It usually only takes about 5 seconds with a sharp tongue that James speaks about a tongue that's a very wretched and powerful thing. It takes about 5 seconds to create a situation like that. Then it takes days or weeks, and sometimes it never actually heal. Sometimes it leads to other things. Sometimes I used to work at the homeless shelter a great deal, and I was always studying people up there. And as I preached and counseled up there, I was always looking at people and studying people in different situations. And there's all kind of reasons people end up at the homeless shelter. Just all sickness, physical illness. Sometimes it's emotional or mental illness. Sometimes it's just a failure to be able to adjust to society. All kind of situations. But I found a certain element, of people at homeless shelter that ran away. They were adult runaways. Our children run away sometimes. We had to go and find them and get them. But a lot of times, adults run away from relationships, situations, marriages. They get hurt. Something happens. There's words said. Maybe there's distrust. Maybe there's some kind of problem. Men, most especially, and I'll tell you, us guys, we got to think that we're the big, strong, tough guys. Psychologists will tell us all day long. Emotionally, men are the weaker of the two. Men are very sensitive. We keep it hid real well, and we hide it, you know, and put forth our facade. But men run away. When they get hurt, get a situation, they run away. I have talked to and seen hundreds of men at the Leon County shelter and talked to them about their life. Why are you here? How did you end up here in Tallahassee, Florida, on the sidewalk, broke, no friends, no family, sometimes a problem with alcohol or drugs, but many times no problem. It's just an emotional problem. Many times where men just ran away. I don't think they really intended to stay long. I think they intended to stay a few days, pay the wife back, make them hurt a little bit like they had. And then it gets on into days and weeks and then months and then years. I remember talking to a certain man about 45 or 50 years old. Seemed like a well-educated man, a gentleman, a nice man. And that's what had happened to him. He had ran away from this relationship with his wife because he got upset, mad, and angry, and hurt, sin there. And he just ran away. And his case was the same. It ended up becoming years. And he talked to me. He told me, I got children. I got a wife and children up in Ohio. And he said, I know they don't know where I am. And I said, don't you think you ought to call them and at least let them know you're alive? I guess I ought to. And I reached in my hand and got my cell phone. I said, well, what's the number? And tears started streaming down his face. And he wouldn't make the call. I said, let me call your wife right now and I'll talk to her and just at least let her know that you're okay. And he said, I can't do it. He said, I hurt them too much. I've broken the bridge. And he said, I just can never go back. And sometimes it gets that bad. And sometimes I can't go back situation. Sometimes it's a trauma in the life that can destroy people. And that's where he was. He hadn't only sinned against his wife and children, he sinned against Almighty God. And he had a broken relationship now with his family. He had a broken relationship with God. And until he turns back to God, until he turns back to his family, he's always going to be miserable. You know what he was doing when I met him? Working day labor for $30-$35 a day, drinking it all up that night. And you know where he slept? He didn't stay at the homeless shelter down there at the Tallahassee City Cemetery. Oh, it was hot in the summertime, and that's where he stayed. He'd go out there and he'd find him a piece of marble out there on a cemetery, and he said, that's where I sleep at night, where it's cool. That marble keeps me cool. And then the next day, he was right back up, going to the day's labor, working out there all day, 8 or 10 hours a day, getting drunk that night, going back to the, that was his life, that was his system. He had a broken relationship. He broke it with his family, he broke it with God. Don't know what the circumstances was, but it was his choice. That's where David was. David had consciously broken a relationship with Almighty God when he gave in to that sin with Bathsheba. And he knew he had sinned against God and God only. He continues to say, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's the situation we're in. We're born into sin. I look at little babies, new infants, and I think about how innocent and how perfect they are. And I say, how can they be sinful and how can they have a sin nature in them and on them genetically when they're only 3 or 4 days old? Well, maybe they haven't created a sin yet. Maybe they hadn't even developed cognitively enough to know how to do that. But they have the sin nature on them. You and I were born with that nature of sin. We were born with that nature of, I'm going to satisfy my flesh. I want to have it my way. I want to be happy. I want. It's kind of like the Burger King syndrome. We're born with it. I want it my way. I don't care about what everybody else wants. I just want my flesh to be happy. And I want to be, I deserve this or I deserve that. That's what David was thinking. I stayed home from going out to war this spring. I'm going to stay home and eat, drink, and be merry and relax this summer. And I'm going to let my warriors go out and do the battle and do the things that I should be doing. And when he got into that situation of feeding the flesh, then his eyes wandered and he saw other things and he lusted after them. And that's where the sin came from. Same thing, sir. We see and then we promote, we think. Does everybody else in this room have a messed up thinker like I got? Y'all got a messed up thinker. I got a messed up thinker now, I'm telling you. I have a battle with my mind. I'm not one that goes out and creates some sin and does a lot of sin. I got that kind of beat down, but boy, I can't. This thing right here between my ears, I have a really hard problem with it. It's always dictating to me. It's always luring me, tempting me. I have to stop. I have to just pray. Satan, get behind me. God, please give me the strength to get past this, and to just to quit thinking all these things. And that's the way we're born. We're programmed that way. You want to know why people just seem like they can't get out of trouble. They always quit because they never put up any kind of defense. They don't put up any kind of defense against their lust or their passions or their sinful nature. You have to fight this thing. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. You have to renew your mind daily because you're born in sin. You've got an enemy right here that's going to attack you every day and try to lead you off and lead you astray. And the people that really get into trouble and get messed up are the people who don't put up a defense. They don't fight it. Some people relish in it. Some people relish in anger. Some people relish in sexual innuendos and thoughts, in pornography, in all sorts of things. It leads from here to putting your body in motion and putting your hands in motion and going to the sin and visiting the sin and participating in the sin. That's where your mind, it starts in the mind and it grows and continues until you are all wrapped up in it. And that's when the broken relationship fails. People who don't put up a defense, who don't stop and check themselves and start praying and ask God for power and asking God for strength, they end up going down this road like a snowball effect. Everybody here can relate to it. I've been in the snowball effect. You've been in it. And it just keeps rolling and it gets bigger and worse and harder. And the further down the hill you roll, the harder it is to stop and get off. Sometimes you don't get off. Some people don't get off. Some people it leads them to some bad things and bad places. Sometimes it leads to suicide. That's where it can end. That's where David was headed here. He had to turn back to God. He was headed down that road. He was in that snowball effect after this relationship with Bathsheba, but he turned back to God and he began to song this song in Almighty God. He said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You remember that day when you got saved? Wherever it was, might have been in the church, might have been in a revival meeting, might have been in your living room, might have been in a hospital, might have been in a jail cell, might have been anywhere, could have been anywhere when God moved into your heart and your life and you submitted yourself to God. The day that you got saved was probably the best day of your whole life. I sat right in this room about 6 months ago. I sat in that chair, and another man who don't go to church here and you don't know him sat in this chair. And we talked about his life. And he talked about suicide, about what he was about to do to himself. And so we talked and discussed this thing. And he related to me that he had sinned against God years ago when he was a young man. And he said he was very defiant, very angry, and he did everything he could to cover all that bad feeling and that guilt. He got involved in drugs and just everything, stealing, doing whatever he wanted to do, no regard to anybody, just did it his way. And he ended up in a jail in West Virginia. I don't know a lot about jails or prisons, but I've always heard that West Virginia's got a bad place up there. And he said he stayed in a stone room, a little stall room, with no windows, nothing. And he stayed in there for 6 months. And he said the anger and the pain that was in his heart was overwhelming. And he said he decided to end it. And he started beating his head against the stone wall. And he said, I'll finally kill myself if I keep doing this. All he did was knock himself to the floor and knock himself out. And he said, laying on that cold floor, he said, I finally made up my mind that I was going to quit fighting God. I was going to stop fighting God. He said, I'd fought God all my life. And he said, I just started to pray. He said, I'd never prayed in my life. Didn't know how to pray. Everybody had never had really heard any pray. God pray. But he said, I just started calling out to God. And I said, and he said, he just turned his life over to God right there. And he said, Brother Bob, I felt like all of a sudden I just got up off that floor and I was floating. He said, it was the happiest, best moment. It was the peace and joy like I ever did. And he did okay until he got to this situation again. And by the way, it's going to recur again. It's going to come back. Don't think when you got it licked, you got it licked. I can tell you that. You don't. So when you think you got past it, you better be on your guard. But anyway, he had got back into some situation. He's alive and well and in church today and doing very well and doing good. But that's how sin and lust and a desire to satisfy our flesh attacks us. You know the battle. You're involved in it every day, just like I am. Same thing with David. David was involved in it. He was deep into it. He had let it go too far, and now he had some serious situations, some serious problems in his life he had to make right. And so he cries out to God. Now, you hear what he said? Restore the joy of myself to salvation. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? To know when you go back to somebody that you've wronged or you hurt, your wife or a friend or a fellow worker, and you're worried about it, and you know that they're upset, they're hurt, they're angry, just like you are, and you finally reach out. Somebody got to reach out. You finally are the one that reaches out, and all of a sudden they just tell you, I'm so sorry, I love you. And that joy and that peace that comes over you is overwhelming. Think about how much more it is when you make peace with God. You give up. You just pause at God's feet. Accept Christ Jesus in your heart and say, God, I know I was wrong. I did wrong. And I'm just crying out for you to forgive me. This is something that Christians practice. Lot. This is something that we have to do. We have to bite the bullet. This is a work in progress. This is not a one-time thing and it's all over. I can look at your faces and know who you are. I can see pain. I know you got pain. I know it because I got it. I know you got anger sometimes. I know you got broken hearts. I know you feel useless sometimes. I know you feel beat down and beat up. Nobody cares about it. The world doesn't care. So I might as well do what I want. I don't have to hear your story. I live your story. I know your story. Because it's my story. The only peace that's going to come to us is to seek after God with our whole heart, putting our faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus and leaning on Him. And that's the way to quit. Running away is not going to help you. Turning to God with your whole heart will cure you. Amen. Father, today as we come, I just thank you for this message that you've given each of us. It's a message for me as well as the ones that's sitting here in the room. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you for giving us characters like David who we can look at and see. We're not the only one that suffers from these things. We're not the only ones that have situations in our lives. We're not the only ones that fall away. And Lord, I just thank you that you have given this abundance of wealth and knowledge to us in your book. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us to take this and use it in our own lives. Help us today to begin a new life. We know, Father, that you can give us a new beginning. We know that you can give us and restore peace and joy in our lives. Help us to seek after that every single day. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.